Let's do a meditation. Let's close your eyes for a minute. I want you to just relax. Even though you are Americans, and it's not a big thing with Americans, just being quiet. Sometimes you are afraid of love because you looked inside and you are afraid of what you thought you saw inside. Yet if you look inside and you don't feel good about yourself, it just means you couldn't have seen what's really inside you. If you don't feel good about yourself in any area of your life, it's because you looked inside your mind and you told yourself there was something else inside of you except love. Because if you really looked inside yourself, you would just see the loveliest of God's creations. You are so beautiful, coming from God. The power and the grandeur could only bring you peace if you really saw how beautiful you are. So if you feel afraid, if you don't feel peace in some area of your life, it's because you saw something that's not there. But in that same place where you saw something that didn't make you feel good about yourself, in that same place where you saw something that didn't bring you complete joy, in that same place you could have looked upon love. In that same place you could have looked upon all of us. In that same place inside of you, you could have looked upon God. In the perfect safety of the mind that created us. For we are all right here with you. In the peace of the Father. Love wants to extend its peace to you. The reality of your mind is one of the most beautiful of God's creations. You are one of the most beautiful of God's creations. The power of decision, your power to decide, your power to decide, your power to choose, your power to choose, your power to decide, your power to make a decision, that's your one remaining freedom left in this world. Your power of decision, no matter what's happened in the past, no matter what seems to be going on right now, your power of decision is the one remaining freedom that you have. And you can decide that from this moment forward, you're going to do everything in your power to see yourself correctly. You can decide that if there's anything in your life that doesn't bring you peace, if there's anything in your life that doesn't bring you peace, you can decide that you're not going to give it reality anymore. Because it's only as real as you make it. You are so beautiful. In your true nature, you are so loving that you can't really give anything but love to anyone or anything. You haven't ever received anything but love from anyone or anything. And if you think you've received, something else other than love, it's because you looked inside yourself and you think you had the power to give something except love. If you see anything except love, it's a reflection of you looking inside yourself and thinking that there's something else in you except love. So it was only your decision to believe that you are something other than the purest of love that created the upset or the fear that you think you are going through in your outer world. So don't be afraid to look within. If you look within and you see anything other than your freedom and your abundance and your beauty, it's because you look within and you thought you saw the power within yourself to give something other than that. You in your truest nature, you are loving. In your truest nature, you are lovable. In your truest nature, you are lovable. In your truest nature, you only deserve love. In your real nature, you only deserve love. And if there's any part of you that thinks you deserve anything else, it's just because you look within yourself and thought you had the power to give something else other than love. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe your past if your past taught you that you were not worthy or deserving. Don't believe the last relationship, if the last relationship had you feeling that you were not beautiful the way you are, that you needed to change in order for you to be lovable. Don't believe that last relationship. You deserve only freedom, only fulfillment, only happiness. That's all you deserve is unity and relationship. That's all you deserve is unity, joining, support, love, and relationship. Thank you, buddy. That's all you deserve. That's all I deserve. We're going to continue. We're going to finish with looking within. That's the section we've been working on. And it's on page 232. I'd like to ask you to pretend for an hour that you are whole and complete. There's nothing missing in you. There's nothing broken about you. And there's nothing that needs fixing. And that you are totally whole and complete. And for an hour, you don't have no problems. You are whole. You're complete. Nothing's missing in your true self. Will you pretend with me for an hour? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means that anything else you think is going on means that you're looking inside your mind and thinking that there's something else in you other than this cool, loving being that we just said we are. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't make a decision, then you're not using your one last remaining freedom in this world. The Course in Miracles says we are divine beings that have gotten so caught up in human form and separation that we've lost sight of all our spiritual power and our ability to create, to the point that now we believe we're bodies that are different colors, different sexes, and different races, that sometimes like each other, sometimes don't, out here trying to make it, hoping we can have a few shabby special relationships before we die. hope on this way to birth to death, we'll come up on with a few people that we can try to hook up with before we grow old and die. And the Course in Miracles says that is an insane perspective. Okay, that's the premise of the Course. Okay, so then people say, but why is it that I see so many things in the world that upset me? Why do I have so many things that come up to keep me from feeling peace? And he says in that section, it's because you took your decision, your power of decision, and you haven't made the decision to see things right. And then he goes on to say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that your last remaining decision should be that you're going to see yourself correctly. So you have to make the decision that who you are is whole and beautiful and perfect and complete. When I say perfect, I don't mean like beyond further evolvement. When I say perfect, I mean you're complete. There are no missing parts. So when I say whole and complete, I'm saying you don't have anything missing. That everything you need and everything I need, we have. We are complete. We didn't come here incomplete. We are whole. There are no missing parts. All right. So here's the premise. So the Course says, I took my power to decide, which means I could decide to see things in such a way that my life brings me peace and joy and abundance and happiness and right relationships. But I took that power decision and I decided to see things like lack, attack, depression, what's not enough. And the Course is not talking about love, happiness that you have that goes up and down, it comes and goes based on your belief that some fantasy that you have about how you think things should be are happening. You know, I'm happy because I wanted a steak dinner tonight. I came home and there was a steak dinner waiting. That ain't happiness. You know, happiness, the Course says, is not something that we set up and make up. And then if everybody acts out what that is that we want them to do, then we feel good. From a Course in Miracles perspective, that is an illusion. Actually, the Course goes deeper than that. It says our happiness that's based on our scripts, the Course calls it a pleasant form of fear. And first time I read that, I was like, ugh. I didn't like that. Did y'all feel that? You kind of, ugh. You know, you don't want to think it's a fear. But what makes it fear is the fact that it comes and goes. And you never know how long it's going to last. That's what the Course says defines it as a fear. You can't count on it. I can't count on it. So I'm worried about losing it. And I'm trying to hold on to it. And I'm wondering when the next time is going to happen. I find the weekend coming up and it's like I can watch my mind trying to come up with some fantasies to see if I can act out between Friday night and Monday morning. Did anybody else have that? Right between Friday night and Monday morning, I got to make me some guilt. I got to come up with some guilt before Monday. And if I didn't, what I'd say? Well, I didn't have such a good weekend. Also, everybody know if you had a really good weekend, you'd be kind of like wondering if you went too far. Did I go too far? Did I not go far enough? So the Course is saying real happiness is a happiness that comes from within you, that's what you are, that's completely unaffected by anything that happens or does not happen out there. That's real happiness. So when I look inside myself and I don't see that peaceful love in Earl, it's because I think there's something else inside of Earl other than love. I think girl might have some fear, some insecurity, some guilt, some anxiety, some concern. So I look inside and see that, and not my power. You follow me? Then he says, well, when you look inside, then you're going to see that on the outside, because whatever you see on the inside is what's projected on the outside. That's the way perception works. So the Course is saying the reason why you're seeing something other than love is because you're looking inside yourself and seeing something other than love. Then you draw a person to you or a situation that reflects back to you something other than love. He says, and that's where all external upsets and problems come from. Period.
Wow.
Now, the trick is forgetting that.
Forgetting.
That's the trick. Every time I forget that, here's how you can tell. Every time that I forget that I'm looking inside and need to look inside, and if I see anything out here, it's because I don't see it inside myself. He says the reason I need to look at that way is because when I forget that, I'm going to get mad. So the way you can tell when you've forgotten that you're looking inside yourself and not seeing peace, and that's why you're going through this problem with your boss, or this problem with your child, or the financial problem, or the weight problem, or the spiritual problem, whatever that problem is, every time you think that problem is being caused by something other than deciding or not deciding to look inside yourself and see love, you're going to go outside, try to handle it, and not be permanently successful. Maybe temporarily successful, provided the other person can be made so wrong they feel guilty enough to try to do what I want them to do. So if I'm sort of successful with my anger, it'll look like people did what I wanted them to do because of my anger. That's what successful anger looks like. But it only creates a temporary effect because I've forgotten that I'm making myself mad.
Yeah.
And not you. Okay. So when the Course says me, like I'm going to go through the rest of this section, it's going to talk about me. It's talking about love. It's talking about spirit. It's talking about, for those of you who can accept the idea that the Course was channeled to this lady and it's Jesus talking to us, trying to correct our perceptions of the insane stuff we learned about him and the truth, you can say that's me. You know, it's like somebody giving you, talking about you and making up stories about you that's not true, and you say, let me straighten it out. That's what the Course is. It's like Jesus said, hold it. It's too much fear and conflict going on in my name. Let me tell you what's really going on. Now that's also a perception of the Course that you could take, but it's not necessary in order to benefit from the Course. But it just makes the Course more powerful and easier. So now, this paragraph 11, if you're on page 232, that's where I'm at. It says, when you've accepted your mission to extend peace, you will find peace. How many people want peace? How many people feel like they don't have some peace in some area? Anybody? Okay, we were just told. When you have accepted your mission, it's like Mission Impossible. When you have accepted your mission, and it damn sure seems like an impossible mission. Loving everybody, loving myself, seeing my wholeness, allowing myself to have peace all the time and to know my abundance and have completely loving relationships all around me. Yes, that does sound like Mission Impossible. And yes, the message does self-destruct as soon as we leave out the room. Where was I? I lost the hour. Who was I at? Okay. So the reason why I don't have peace is not because someone else is not acting right. The reason why I don't really have peace is because I haven't accepted my mission. If you don't really have happiness and prosperity and peace in your life right now, it's because you haven't accepted your mission. It's not because of your education. It's not because of the way you've done relationships. It's not because of your parents. not because of your sex, race, or childhood. It's not because you didn't get that report in on time. It's not because your car payment could be paid faster. It's because you are so born into this body and you haven't accepted your mission.
But what is it? I would do it if I knew what it was.
To extend peace.
The Course says, read me very slowly. I figure if you read the Course as slow as you needed to read it in order for you to get it, by the time you finish the book, you'll be in your third life. You'll be three lives down.
Right.
You'd be like old. But you'd be peaceful. Because when you hear it slowly, it's you get it. Okay, so if I want to have peace, what do I need to do?
Extend peace.
Okay, that means, what does extend peace mean?
Give it away.
Give it away. Okay, now rule number one. The first, the Course says, there are four obstacles to peace. Obstacle number one is the desire to get rid of it. The biggest obstacle for you having peace is you give your peace away too quickly. We give our peace away because somebody changed lanes of traffic. We give our peace away because somebody didn't say or act the way we want. We give our peace away because I don't like the weather today. We give our peace away because I don't like that how that shirt looks on me. We give our peace away about anything. So the first obstacle to peace is what?
Giving it away too quickly.
Right. The first obstacle to peace is my desire to get rid of my peace. So the next obstacle to peace is, because we say our mission is to extend peace, our next obstacle to peace is the belief that the body is valuable for what it offers. I think that to practice the truth and do what the peace tells me to do and to do what spirit tells me to do means I'm going to have to sacrifice some pleasures of the body. Anybody familiar with that fear? that if I'm really spiritual, then I'm going to have to not do some stuff with my body that I like to do with my body. In other words, some people may figure if they're really God-like, they can't get their freak on. If they really go for their spiritual purpose, then they can't be rich, because everybody knows if you're rich, you can't be really spiritual. You see what I'm saying? It's like we have these beliefs that there's, he says that the body is so valuable that I'll give my peace away if I don't get what I want in my body. You know? And it can be as simple as, I wanted you to put your arms around me and you didn't, so now I don't have peace. Because I believe that the body and the body's offerings are more valuable than my happiness. That's the second obstacle to peace. Yeah. Hello? If I don't have that pair of shoes, I'm mad. That's more valuable than my peace. Mm-hmm. Now, that makes sense to me, because if our purpose is to extend peace, and that's our mission, and then we don't have peace, then I would say we've done the first two things at least. Mm-hmm. We, for some reason, we gave it away, and for some reason, we think whatever it is on out here that we're trying to get is more important than our peace. Mm-hmm. Can we agree on that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the third obstacle to peace, see, the cool part about coming to the class and being with the teacher or facilitator that studied this for 26 years is that I can save you some time. That's what every relationship ought to do. It ought to save you some time. I ought to feel like I'm moving faster because I'm with you, not slower. Sometimes I feel like I'm really moving forward and I get in a relationship and my life comes to a screeching halt. And now I'm processing. Yeah. I was on the highway of life, and now I'm over here on the side and the rest stop explaining things to you. And you explaining things to me. And do you know what we're explaining to each other? I'm explaining to you the fantasy I want you to do in order for me to be happy, which is my thing I need you to do in order for me to be happy, and how I need you to change in order for me to be happy. How I need to explain to you what I did last night was because I wanted to be happy. And because that wasn't what you wanted me to do for me to be happy, now I got to try to get you to understand. And not be mad at me. Now, in the meantime, I don't know about you, when you pull over to the side of the road, do you notice that the car's going right past you, moving forward? So some of us in relationships right now that I call rest stop relationships. So what is that doing? That's blocking the extension of your peace, which is your mission. Because when you extend peace, this is what happens. When you extend peace, then at that point, then you have more of it, because whatever you give, you have more of, right? So that means your physical reality, in turn, starts to reflect back to you peace. Now, would you feel peace if you couldn't pay your bills?
No.
Right. Usually you wouldn't. So if you focused on peace, and that would make you feel peace, then peace will take care of that. Because peace is going to take care of everything that gives you fear. Peace is going to replace everything that gives you fear. So really sincerely going for peace will take care of all those other things if peace is your mission. Now, what does the Course in Miracles say that peace means? Well, it doesn't mean sitting in the cave contemplating your navel, which used to turn me off. When I would hear, you know, peace, first of all, most people thought being in peace meant sitting down, being quiet, and being boring. You know, like many people said peace, people think. That, to me, that was right up there with heaven being streets paved with gold. That didn't turn me on either. But peace is complete fulfillment. It's not a physical behavior. You can be partying like a big dog, laughing and playing and jumping up and down. Me and my brothers and sisters used to dance so hard on a Saturday night in our own living room that we would get so worked up from dancing and from such ecstasy that we just burst out the front door into the middle of the street and just scream running around. We didn't have money. We didn't even know. Sometimes I would study my homework by kerosene lamp, literally, because we couldn't afford to pay our utilities. But was I unhappy? No. Because I was surrounded by love, and I had peace, and I felt safe, and I had an incredible imagination. So my point in saying it is that peace doesn't look like anything. We should be making up what we think peace look like, because what we'll start doing is judging other people in terms of how they're expressing their joy. Because you've made up your mind that if you're joyful, then you look quiet and like this. And that is joyful for some people. But for some people like me, that's good part-time. Can't be full time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have some loud, mm-hmm. You know, black folk like loud. A black church ain't like this. This ain't like a black church at all. You know, it took me a while to kind of get that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, anyway. It's interesting. Spirit to me is joyful and alive, but that's my way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't judge anybody else's way of doing it. But if I don't extend it the way it comes through, the way peace moves through me, then I'm not fulfilling my mission. And if I'm not fulfilling my mission, I know it because I have fear and brokenness. I have fear in relationship to conflict. You see what I'm saying? So if you're not extending your mission to extend peace, he says, you won't have peace, right? He says, when you have accepted your mission to extend peace, you will find peace. How? If you make it manifest in you, you will see it. I got to make it manifest in me, then I see it. See the answer? I want to have peace. Well, make it manifest in you, and you'll see it. Well, I will make it manifest in me when you make me happy. You know, I give y'all so much peace if y'all will make me happy right now. I let y'all see my happiness if you all would make me happy. The Course in Miracles said that the miserable and unhappy are merciless. I was always having compassion. He said, no, the miserable and unhappy, they're merciless. I mean, they're not having mercy on nobody. Why? It's just by the way they look. They're saying to everybody that they around, look at what you did to me. Because if it wasn't for you, I'd be smiling right now. If you were doing something more, I'd be happy right now. So when I'm around you and I'm like, don't you see I'm blaming you? Don't you see I'm blaming you just by the way I'm looking? Because if you really were making me happy, you see me smiling right now. So a miserable person is merciless.
Wow.
Because there's another way they could be, but they're choosing not to be that way.
Wow.
That's merciless. You mean you really got a choice about the way you could be, and you're choosing to be a miserable, unhappy person that's projecting and blaming and angry and upset and never happy about nothing? You're merciless. You're not having no mercy on nobody. Your parents see you and you look mad at them. You could have been a better parent. You know, you look at your friends and you didn't call me last night. See, I'm merciless. Like everybody around me, I'm merciless. I'm showing them. Look what you're doing to me.
Wow.
Isn't that deep?
Wow. Yeah.
Until I read this book, I never looked at it that way. Then, of course, it says, now that I told you how merciless you are, instead of feeling guilty about that, don't feel guilty about that. This is what I want you to do. See it as your call for love. Okay? First, I have to reveal your illusion to you, what you're doing. And you go, oh my God, I am doing that. It's okay. I just want you to recognize it. Now, that's your call for love. And that's how you get out of it. That's how you get out the guilt. What you're really saying is, I want love. Don't you think I deserve love by how miserable I am? Don't I look pitiful enough to get your love? What does it take? What does it take for me to get your love? You know what I'm saying? See, they just calling for love. They're doing it in a really weird way, but that's what they, you know, it's like it's amazing that we can attack people and expect love in return and get mad at them because they don't give it to us.
That is amazing.
Isn't it amazing? It's like, I go off on you, y'all fill in the blanks, right? Right? And then I'm mad because they didn't grab me and kiss me and hug me and tell me how much they love me when I just got through going off on them. And I'm shocked. I'm like, man, you don't really love me. Why? Because I just treat you like a dog and you didn't hug me. I'm going to attack you and I'm going to receive love back. That's what the Course says the fearful mind believes.
Mm-hmm.
That it attack everything, show its misery to everything, don't take no responsibility for anything, and then in reward, they're going to get a really bountiful life.
Yeah.
A really beautiful life where everything goes great. Because as soon as it does, I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And I'll let y'all see my appreciation after you give me what I want. And in the meantime, I'll give you my disapproval until you do it. So what y'all think about what I just said? Does it ring true? Does it ring true? Anybody think that doesn't ring true? Is there anybody here that hasn't experienced or seen what I just got to say? Okay, so in this class, we're talking about what's happening, what's real.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I love about the Course. It's real. It's real. Now, why did I go off in the first place? Because I didn't extend
peace.
I looked inside myself and I thought there was something missing in me, and now I'm looking for you to give me what I think is missing. So the whole problem started with me looking inside myself, believing that there was something else inside of me except love, and then looking out there and seeing witnesses to the fact that I'm not loving. That's where it came from. The boyfriend did not come from the reflection of a relationship with your daddy. The boyfriend came from looking inside yourself, thinking that there was something else inside of you other than beauty and perfection, and then looking outside of you and seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
I have a financial problem. Where did it come from? The financial problem came from looking inside myself, thinking that there's something else inside of me except abundance and a deserving of abundance, and then looking outside of me and seeing the witness to that, which we would call lack. Everybody clear how it's working. It's coming from looking inside yourself first, according to the Course, and then looking out and seeing it. But you looked inside yourself first. But it also says you can look inside yourself, make the decision to see something that hurts you so fast, and that you forget you made the decision to see it. Okay, I say it again. The Course says we're making decisions that we don't realize we're making and don't even remember making. Just be with that for a minute. Every minute, you're making decisions that you don't remember, and you're making decisions that you have forgotten about. How can you recognize when you've done that? How can you recognize when you've made a decision that you don't know about? Isn't that a great question? How do you recognize it? Here we go. Here we go. I'm not going to ever say something that I won't give you a Course in Miracles answer to. It's everything that upsets you that you don't take responsibility for. Everything that upsets you that you don't take responsibility for is a decision you've made that you've forgotten about. So you can tell when you're looking at a decision you've forgotten about, because it'll be the thing that it looks like is happening to you beyond your control. So when you look around your life and you go, where do I feel the most victim? That's the part of your life that you've made decisions you've forgotten about and don't remember making. I'm good. Oh, I let it come through me. 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 So when you make a decision, some are conscious, some are unconscious. When you make an unconscious decision, it takes the form of an event or a relationship that it looks like it happened to you, or something happened to you beyond your control. The reason why that event happened that upset you, why did it come up in the first place? The Course says it came up in the first place because you got so close to love, something in you was getting in touch with something so beautiful that it scared you. Mm-hmm. To the point that you had to create something for yourself to prove that you couldn't possibly be as beautiful as the Course in truth says you are.
Mercy.
Okay, next question goes something like, well, what do I do about it? How can I tell if I've really changed my mind? How can I tell if I've really changed my mind and I'm really ready to move on and stop suffering and have what I deserve in every area? How can I tell? Here you go. The way you can tell when you've decided to finally let that pattern of unhappiness go, and things happening to you that freak you out that you weren't expecting, the way you let that go, and the way you know you're serious about letting it go, is you will be taking more and more and more and more and more and more and more responsibility for what you are experiencing and feeling. Now, some of what I'm saying is going to knock some of you out. Okay? Why? Why, based on what I just said, would you think it would be hard for you to stay conscious when I'm telling you exactly what's causing the pain that you go through in any area you're like, but you couldn't stay conscious on that, which should be the main thing I would stay conscious on. There's nothing else in the world that I stay conscious on. I would stay conscious when you're telling me how to get out of the thing that's bothering me. But that's what I've noticed in the last 26 years, when people go the most unconscious is when you give them the answer. They're very conscious during the problem discussion. And they're very conscious when you tell them about what they're doing wrong. But the minute you go into answer mode, you can watch people start to dissolve right in front of your face. Why do you think that's so? Yeah. Anybody, why do you think we go most unconscious when the answers come at us?
Because we're afraid of consciousness.
Because what?
Because we're afraid of consciousness.
Because we're afraid of consciousness.
Because we're responsible, and we want to say it something else.
Say it again.
Because we're really responsible, and we don't... We want to say it's something outside of us, so we want to blame something outside of us and not take responsibility for it.
And so if we go unconscious, what does that do?
You don't have to be responsible.
Yeah, you don't have to be responsible.
You put the blame on somebody else.
Everyone used to bitching and moaning.
Uh-huh. And if you had a solution, would you have anything to bitch and moan about? No.
No.
So if I've structured my whole life around bitching and moaning and having problems and nothing being right, I know my way around that. I don't know my way around peaceful, happy life. That's much more threatening. And I see, if I accepted what this was saying, I'd have to trust you, Joker. Right? I'd have to start being open to people. I'd have to start trusting. I'd have to start being vulnerable. I'd have to start opening my heart. I'd have to start taking responsibility. I'd have to start projecting. I'd have to start blaming. And that's more frightening to me than not trusting y'all. It's much easier for me just to not trust none of y'all, not open up at all, keep myself protected, not realizing that the only reason why I'm having the problem in the first place is because I've forgotten that I made the decision to have the problem because I've looked inside myself and thought there was something else in me besides love. That's where the problem started. But if I don't want to accept that it's true and I want to continue to blame all of you, then I have to forget that I'm making the decision to continue to go through the hell that I'm going through. And I do that by staying unconscious of the fact that I make the decision. And I do that by denying that I'm responsible for the way I feel. So the way I can stop all the problems and the attacks and the unexpected stuff would simply be me taking responsibility for my own happiness. And all of my problems will start to clear up. All of them.
Yeah.
Relationship, money, career, God, all of that stuff would clear up. Isn't that a trip?
Yeah.
If I just said, Earl, I'm doing well here. And I don't know about you, but I had this conversation in my head. There's this voice that talks to me all the time. And it's always telling me how to avoid some catastrophic outcome. It's always telling me what I need to be able to look out for, what I need to watch out for, what I'm unsatisfied about, what I wish was different. Anybody that's got that voice? Please don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Please don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Please, 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 please. Please don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Next to going unconscious, that's the next funniest thing that happens when you teach A Course in Miracles. If people are looking at you like you're talking about something, but they realize it or not, like they don't really know what you're talking about. When they ought to be all going like in the good old Black Baptist church. Amen. Yeah, brother. Well, that's what it was when I was in church. Everybody just, well, that's right. You know, because the minute we do that, the minute we acknowledge that we are alike, we join. We become closer. And on top of that, we feel more innocent. But when you think you are alone, the Course says that is the cause of guilt. The guilt comes from being alone. Thinking you can't feel guilty about something that you're not the only one doing. You can't. Because you're not different from the people you're around. And if you're not different from the people you're around, then you can't feel guilty about those people. You know, if you got a bad habit, if you think of it as a bad habit, and all your partners got that same bad habit, when you're doing it with your partners, you don't feel guilty about it. Because you're not being condemned. It's hard to feel guilty when you're around that which is like you. It's real easy to feel guilty if you're continually hanging out with something that's just the opposite from you. That's where guilt comes from. And you see that all the time. People joining up with people who are so different that they can't feel authentic and innocent about being who they are. And every time you're in a relationship where you can't be who you are, then you're in a relationship where all of your desires cannot be fulfilled. Because the relationship is based on the abdication of your needs. You're not acknowledging your needs so that you can hang on to the relationship. So the relationship itself becomes a way of not having your needs met. And then the person gets mad at the other person because they're sacrificing so that this person can meet their needs and they're not even doing it.
Right.
What you want is a relationship with someone where you can be totally authentic about what your needs are, feel innocent about what your needs are, share what your needs are so that your needs can be fulfilled. There's nothing wrong with having a need. The problem is not allowing it to be fulfilled. All our needs can be fulfilled. All of our needs can be fulfilled. What's keeping our needs from being fulfilled is we're not being honest with ourselves about our needs. Sometimes we don't do it because of our idealized self. The self we think we ought to be if we're spiritual.
So we pretend that we want to know our eternal identity, but what I really want is a brand new car. But if I would be honest about that need, the universe could fulfill it faster. If I'm in guilt about the need, by being in denial about the need, then the need can't be met. And that's why people lack.
Wow.
They're just not being honest with themselves about their need. And their real need is to be themselves. That's your real need. To be as authentically who you are as you can possibly be. To look inside yourself, see who you are as whole and complete, and then look outside yourself at all the witnesses that say back to you, guess what? You are whole and complete. Wow. I do appreciate you. You are beautiful. People are treating me so loving now when I go into strange places. I like to go into strange places. You know, I like to have a life that things happen that I don't expect, which is okay as long as it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't go out to extend your peace, you won't have new adventures. You know what I mean? So people are responding to what I am. And not even to my ego, because I don't even understand why they're reacting to me sometimes the way that they react. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Where people are just treating you more loving than you understand why. Because it's not like you're doing anything. You just came in the door. But they see something in you and feel something in you that's realer than what you even know about yourself. And when you have something more beautiful in you than you know about yourself, you'll have people treating you better than you think you deserve. And if you're a person that has people treating you better than you think you deserve, then there is love in you that you are deciding to see, but you've forgotten you made the decision. You decided to be loved, but you don't remember making the decision because you're not taking responsibility for your happiness. So even your happiness has to seem like it's coming to you unexpectedly. Because you're not taking responsibility for that either. It's deep.
Yeah.
It's deep. So if you walk in and you go, well, I made the decision before I walked into this party to be appreciated. How do I know that? Because the people in the party appreciate me.
Yeah.
I don't even remember making a decision, but I made the decision. That will increase your mission of peace. And Spirit will send you into more and more cool places to bring your peace into. And what will be so beautiful about it will be that everyone in that new situation that Spirit sends you into needs you the way you are. They need you the way you are. It's because the way you are is just what they need.
Yeah.
So you're not entering into a relationship that the relationship lasts just because you withhold your needs from yourself. You know, like most old relationships. I got this desire to dance tonight, and I want to go out and dance tonight, and but my partner don't want me to dance. So if I really love him, I won't dance. I'll deny my need to dance, though. Hold on to you. You understand what I'm saying? And so since I'm not acknowledging that need, the people who would love me and accept that need, or even the part of that person that I'm with that would accept that need, would never allow itself to be expressed, because I looked inside myself and saw something inside myself other than my right to be my authentic self. That's what I'm seeing and what the Course is saying. So a real relationship is a relationship that's going, hey, you know something? I want you to express your needs, your honest needs. Be honest with me about your needs. Let me hear them. Be authentic about them. Don't hide them from me so that you can have it. Because then you can instantly have it fulfilled because you're not denying it. So a need that you have that doesn't look like it's being fulfilled is a need you have that you're not being honest about. What does being honest about the need mean? Well, it means you still believe somebody else is supposed to fulfill it. So you're not being honest about your need. An honest need is a need that you know the universe is going to fulfill. That Spirit is going to fulfill. God's going to fulfill it. And it don't have nothing to do with that person. Woo! Man! love knowing that if I decided to have peace and happiness, there's no one in the room that can stop it. And if all of y'all, you know, and if all of y'all decided not to give it to me, love will come to me through the person and the people that it will. But if I decide you got to be the one to give it to me, then I'm up the creek if you don't want to give it to me. So as soon as you decide on the form of what you want, you've lost sight of your purpose.
Wow.
Yeah, as soon as you go, it's got to be you. I have forgotten my purpose. What's your purpose? Your purpose was to be happy and to have happiness come to you through relationships. Wonderful relationships, right? Yeah, so you, let me get this straight. You want peace, love, joy, and happiness in incredibly wonderful relationships because it's really all about relationships. You are smart enough to know that, right, Earl? That it really ain't about nothing but relationships. Yeah, okay. All right, you want to be, you want to have it, right? Just claim it. You got a right to ask for it. Do you want it? Yes, yes, I want it. Ask for it. Be honest. Do you have that need? Yes, yes, I have that need. All right. Then don't you decide on who's supposed to fulfill it, and you can have it. Why?
Because you can't get what you don't give yourself.
It always comes to you faster through the person that wants to give it to you.
That's why we should concentrate on the people we love and not the people we don't.
Thank you. I'll say it one more time. It's always easier to have a need fulfilled through where it can be fulfilled through. It's always faster to receive. The universe can answer all your prayers as soon as you stop jamming everything up by being addicted to who you or what you think is supposed to come through, who obviously is not who is supposed to come through, or it would. I love you. I love you, baby. I love you. I gotta have you. I gotta have you. I gotta have you. But I got a restraining order out on you. I don't want you nowhere near me. Oh, this is a challenge. I'm gonna make you love me. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. See, I'm over in the rest stop. I was on the path to happiness. Now I'm over here trying to figure out how to hit this person and what can I do to get them to really love me. See, I'm off the highway now. But if I had to ask for perfect happiness and realize it was within me, or that the peace was in me, and then ask for it to have it and to be shown clearly how to receive it, then it would not only come to me through the right person, it would come through to me in just the form I like. And then people say, well, how do you know? How do you know it's in the form you like? Well, if it wasn't, you wouldn't be happy. Happiness and form you like, they go together. Okay, so if you're happy, it must be something happening that's okay. So you don't have to worry about, is the form going to be right? You wouldn't be happy if it wasn't. Wow. So deep. I'm going to stop right here.
That is so deep.
My hands are broken already. That was a lot.
Do you see the simplicity of it?
Yeah.
Do you hear the simplicity of that?
That's the crazy part.
That's the crazy part. Is that was totally, you could tell it, you could, seventh graders could have got that. And the Course says that that's one of the characteristics of truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that it's simple and easy to do. If it doesn't seem simple and easy to do, then it means you are dealing with a defense or an obstacle that you put up in front of your own self to stop you from having what you really don't want. Okay?
Wow.
An obstacle is nothing but a reflection of the fear you have about having what you're asking for. Because the desire and the appeal of what you want should pull you past the obstacle. Mm-hmm. That's how you can tell. If the obstacle stops you, then you don't really want it. If you really want it, you won't let the obstacle stop you. You find yourself. It's like, if you really love her, and she picks her toes at the table. You know, I know you've heard me somebody. They pick their toes at the table. Isn't that true? They pick their toes at the table. You know, I just said, it's a very beginning. They can't do nothing wrong. Their toes at the table. You know, that's when we first fall in love, right? Why don't we hold on to that vision? Why don't we hold on to that vision that we have at the very beginning? Good question, isn't it? Because we know we can do it because we did it at the beginning. We know we can see it because that's what drew us to them in the first place. But see, that was just a preview of coming attractions. The beginning of a relationship is the preview of coming attractions. I promise you. At the very beginning, you are seeing the person the way you're going to see them when your perception has been healed and corrected.
Wow.
So it's like at the end, at the beginning, you're seeing the end. Mm-hmm. And then you freak out in the middle, in between, when you're learning how to what? Look inside yourself, see the peace and love in you, and then start to see it outside. That's the process. The process isn't changing them. The process is remembering that what you're seeing is a reflection of what you're looking at inside your own mind, and that if you're seeing something that you don't love, it just means you looked inside yourself and you saw something that wasn't there. You love me.
I love you so much.
You look inside yourself and saw something cute as me.
It's all right.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for sharing.
Wow. I hope you look inside yourself and see some money to give me. Thank you so much. Unity and relationships. Wow, I mean, yeah, I understand what he said, but and I know what he said right there, but what about that? And I know he didn't say, but it couldn't be happening. What about that? What about the Holocaust?
Yeah.
What about starving people in Africa? You know, it's like the ego is going to bring up every reason in the world for you not to go, oh, there's something lacking in my life. All I have to do in order to have it is stop looking inside myself and thinking that there's something inside of me other than innocence and beauty. And even if I wasn't acting loving, that was just my call for love. Oh, all I have to do is stop projecting my unhappiness on everybody else and realize that it's just a reflection of me not being honest about my own needs. See, that's easy to try to change your grandmama.
Yeah.
But somehow or another, the mind convinces us that that going back to the old way makes the most sense when it's obvious that it doesn't work. It doesn't work, you all. It doesn't work. It'll never work.
Keep repeating the same crap.
It will never work. Sooner or later, they're going to fail to fulfill the ideal that you've set up that they should fulfill outside of yourself. It's inevitable. But what if I looked inside myself, saw peace and happiness and joy inside myself because I'm being authentically myself, and because I didn't think I was lying to myself anymore, and I'm not entering any more relationships where I can't enter? Stop entering relationships that won't have you. Oh, I want to be in a relationship with you, Earl, but just leave you outside and you can come into a relationship with me. What do you mean? Everything about you that I don't like, I want you to stop doing. Don't bring Earl into the relationship. But this is the way I am. No. Don't bring Earl. Well, who do you want? My fantasy? Would you bring my fantasy into a relationship with me, but not you? As a matter of fact, don't even talk too much, because that messes with my fantasy. I need to imagine you what I want. I can't even imagine you what I want when you talk. Be quiet. And then you enter, then you study the course and you apply the truth to yourself, and then you find yourself entering relationships where you're telling the person, like I find myself being in a relationship now where I tell people, you know, please just be more yourself. What do I need to do to make you feel safe enough to let even more of you come out? Because what I see is so cool, I just want you to let more of that come out. I remember when it was all about what was wrong with them and what they need to change. Now I'm going, please be you more. Whoa, I couldn't even thought of that. See, that's the kind of relationships I'm entering into in my life now, and it's like tripping me out. They're trying to say the same thing to me. You know, I walked into that party, it was this girl doing a fire dance. She was, you know, really cool, really beautiful, you know. And first thing she did, she looked at me and she said, "Wow, you're such a great gift." And just came over to me and just gave me a big hug and started talking to me. And, you know, I'm like going, wow, she recognized me as soon as I walked in the door. I didn't even see me that way. Wow, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Then it becomes, okay, can I accept it? Can I accept it? Will I let it in? Will I deflect it? Will I say, oh, you can't be telling the truth? Or will I doubt it? Will I go, what do you want? What are you trying to get? You know, I had to stop complimenting women so much because I was bringing up so much suspicion in them. I had to start limiting the amount of acknowledgement I was giving because they would reach a point where they go, no, you're not, no. Then I realized, no. You keep on acknowledging and you keep on acknowledging until you attract through the law of attraction someone who goes, yes, thank you, wow, yeah, I'm glad you see it. And then I started doing those kind of women to me. And I was like, whoa, it wasn't about me backing up the love. It was about me extending more love until I started to draw people to me who also felt the same way about themselves. And it eradicated the ones who couldn't handle it, but they could never deny that they had met someone who could appreciate them, which proved to them they were capable of drawing a person to them that could really appreciate them, who wasn't trying to get anything. I had just witnessed that to them, even if they rejected me. They still saw it was possible. So they had an experience, and the Course says experience leads to belief, that you are going to believe what you experience. So if you give somebody an experience, you're fortifying their belief in their worthiness. So even if they backed off and they said, oh, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. No, that's not my issue. That don't have nothing to do with me. The truth is, you said you wanted to draw a male energy to you that was loving, that you could trust, that wasn't trying to get anything from you, and it was there. So you can attract it. You may have rejected it, but you can attract it. And that's all you need to know. Which means something inside of you drew me, which means there's something inside of you that believes you deserve respect. Why? Because I just proved it to you. Then the Holy Spirit rewards me by then drawing to me people who go, yes, 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 yes. It's a good deal, y'all. You know, we own something that's really, really cool. It's really wonderful. So in case you don't want to forget, see if you see some eggs. Yeah, I see some eggs out there. Alright. So that's going to be available. Next class is 1:00. Alright. Take a breath. Oh man, I love you so much. When you've accepted your mission to extend peace, you will find peace. When you've accepted your mission to extend peace, you will find peace. The way you extend peace is to not give your peace away. The way you keep from giving your peace away is to learn not to see anything as more valuable than your peace. Put your peace first. It's the same as putting God first. Putting peace first is putting God first. Putting peace first is putting yourself first. Now, if there's a part of you that's done the merciless act, if there's a part of you that's still looking for something or someone else to abdicate their needs in order to make you happy, instead of making yourself feel guilty about that, remind yourself that's just your call for love. You're just saying, I want love. Will you love me? Will you recognize me? So don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about it. Nothing can make you ever really, really guilty. You can make mistakes, but mistakes are for correction, not punishment. You don't deserve punishment. You just deserve a loving, healing correction. If something happens that you don't expect to happen, just tell yourself, I'm willing to see the lesson in this so that I don't have to produce it again. I'm willing to see the lesson in this so that I don't have to produce it again. I'm willing to see the lesson in this so that I don't have to go through it again. I'm willing to see the lesson now so that I don't have to go through it again. I'm willing to see the lesson now so that I don't have to go through it again. I'm willing to see the lesson now so that I don't have to go through this again. I'm willing to see the lesson now. So here's the lesson. You looked inside yourself and you thought there was something else other than beauty and love in yourself. And because you thought there was something other than beauty and love in yourself, you looked outside yourself and experienced this problem or situation. So remind yourself, make a decision about yourself tonight. I'm loving, I'm lovable, I deserve love. Whether I see it or not, whether I feel it or not, I deserve appreciation. I deserve support, recognition. I deserve it, even if I don't believe it, I deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. May the Course be with you. And see you next time, guys. Can we acknowledge us? Can we acknowledge us? Yes. 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 Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie.